5, you can open it pretty much anywhere you want to. Proverbs 30, verse 25 will be good as any, I guess. We're going to be all over the place. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 25 said, "The answer of people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer." Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 through 8 says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest." Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. We need the help of God. We need the help, the courage, the inspiration, the unction from the Holy Spirit. I pray, oh God, this morning you'd help us to deliver the message that you've put on our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we are rapidly approaching the end of an era. There's been much ado. There's countless websites. They've made movies. They've written books. Because the world is supposed to come to an end December the 21st, 2012. That's the end of the long count calendar for the Mayan culture. Of course, all serious scientists and archaeologists and paleontologists and all them other ologists dismissed the whole concept. But the pseudoscience and the nut jobs and the fruitcakes have had a certifiable field day with the Mayan calendar and the end of the age. We've got everything from a planetary alignment with the gigantic black hole at the middle of our galaxy to being struck by Planet X, this invisible planet of protons or whatever it is. Almost anything your mind can imagine, somebody has speculated about. And so the world's coming to an end December the 21st, 2012. Now, I have studied that extensively, and if I remember correctly, a few months ago, close to a year ago, I brought you a message on 2012, which we spent some time investigating all the different scenarios and hypotheses about it and dismissed them out of hand. I have not changed my mind about that one whit. I mention it again today simply because that with this phenomenon of 2012 has played into the hands of the doomsday preppers. So I want to bring you a message this morning entitled "The Ultimate Doomsday Prepper." Now, some of you may or may not be familiar with preppers. Tuesday night, 9 o'clock, Doomsday Preppers, come on. You can check it out for yourself. Now, if you don't want to wait that long, just go to your computer and type in Doomsday Preppers, and you can get all the past episodes live on the Internet. You can also find about 10,000 other prepper sites and at least 10,000 places where you can buy prepper paraphernalia. Anything to prepare for doomsday. Food with 30-year life shelf life. All kind of gadgets. Radios that will withstand nuclear, atomic blast, and God only knows what all. It's all out there. There are over 3 million registered preppers in the United States alone. But this phenomenon is not restricted to the continental United States. It is a worldwide phenomenon. And it goes from the casual and the sublime to the ridiculous. If you watch the prepper show on Tuesday evenings at 9 o'clock, You have ignorant hillbilly rednecks that are burying school buses in mountainsides, to people who are multimillionaires who have every electronic gadget conceivable to the human mind to protect their home. Preppers are preparing for a vast array of doomsday scenarios. Mega earthquakes, polar shifts, economic collapse, government takeover, civil unrest, civil war, nuclear attack, nuclear disaster, that is the Duke Power's power plants exploding. 2012, there's a giant underground volcano underneath Yellowstone National Park. According to the best brains of the day, which is questionable, this volcano has erupted at least three times in the last 4 million years. There are no written records of that. And the last time it erupted was about 600,000 years ago. But there's a large group out in California that are preparing, because when it goes, it will make Mount St. Helens and those kind of things look like sparklers. We have people who are preparing for the plague, a pandemic that sweeps around the world. We have people who are preparing for the power grid to collapse across the country. We have people who are preparing for invasions from outer space. We have people who are storing food, water, guns, ammunition, clothes, medicine, seed, radios, gas masks, iodine, anything to help you survive a nuclear fallout. Anything your mind can imagine that could go wrong, somebody is preparing for it to happen. And that goes from putting away two extra boxes of minute rice in a plastic bag to buying 25 years of food in sealed bags that have a 25-year shelf life. Now, somebody has suggested that if you have one of those large food stockpiles, you may invariably make yourself a target. Understand that. Casual preppers just have what they call bug-out bags. Now, if you don't know what that is, that's where you pack a bag or a knapsack or a backpack, and you put in there a couple of 3 days, 72 hours worth of food, some water, some iodine pills, water purification pills, a compass, a bowie knife, a machine gun, a machete, three changes of clothes, and a tent. And you keep that in the back of your car in case doomsday shows up unexpectedly, and you can survive it and run for 3 days before it gets you. Bug out bags, bug out vehicles, bug out locations, bug out plans. Bug out simply means that when something happens, that you're prepared beforehand and you've got a plan, you've got a place, you've got a vehicle or transportation, and you've got certain amount of supplies that will enable you or give you at least a shot at surviving for some predetermined amount of time. Prepping is big business. It's over $1 billion a year that people spend on prepping for doomsday. Whatever they think is going to happen, they're preparing for it. Now, the honest truth is, other than nuclear fallout and radiation, they all prepare pretty much the same way. You get yourself some minute rice, some mac and cheese in a sealed bag, and a gum with lots of bullets. Amen? Now, I've thought about doing it just for the fun of it. You know, I mean, it just sounds like something I'd be interested in. Whether or not all that effort's worthwhile or not, I don't know. But the world sees doomsday coming. And they're looking for it. Now, we've had plenty of prognosticators who have predicted doomsday. Nostradamus. Now, you know, I read Nostradamus, which is really a boring thing. And his prophecies are so vague and so inclusive that no matter what happens, he's got it covered. If I were going to listen to a modern-day doomsdayer, Edgar Cayce would be my prophet of choice. He was much more specific. He was in this millennium, or the last millennium, and he lived in Virginia, so, you know, he's got to be better than anybody else. Anyway, he might be a little off on Atlantis, but some of that other stuff. He predicted doomsday. And of course, the Mayan calendar predicts doomsday. And if you look at all the cultures around the world, almost all of them have the end of the world showing up. And so now people are beginning to take it serious and preparing for whatever doomsday scenario they buy into. Now, I'm a doomsdayer. I believe doomsday is coming. And I think you ought to get prepared for it. But I do have a different take on it. I want us, now, you understand that when we say preppers or doomsday preppers, and by the way, when you look it up on the internet, if you look up doomsday prepper, you get one list of websites and one point of view. If you just put in preppers and look it up, it's a whole different list of websites. But you there's an endless supply on either one, so just help yourself. Prepper simply means to prepare beforehand. That's what preppers do. They see something down the road, and so today, right now, they're getting ready for what they see coming, or what they think is coming. So when we talk about prepping or preppers, we're just talking about folks who are trying to get a handle on a future event to be ready for it, and they have to start now to get it done. Okay? Bear that mind and thought, that thought in mind. I'm dyslexic this morning in my thinking. I keep getting things inverted. But anyway, we read Proverbs 30:25. And Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 through 8, which has to do with the ant. The Lord said, go to the ant. Okay? You can learn something from the ants. What did it say about the ant? It said that the ant is a prepper. That's what it said. It said in the summertime it gathers its food, in the harvest it gathers its food. Why? What's it doing? It's preparing for a disaster called winter. When there is no food and nothing can be gathered. And so the little old ant, in its infinite wisdom, has a doomsday scenario to protect its own, its queen, and their offspring. The ant prepares while it can, realizing there's going to come a day when they're going to have to rely on what they prepared in advance, because there will be nothing available when the disaster comes. When the snow is on the ground and the blizzards are howling, too late to prepare. If you didn't get it done before the bad weather comes, you're not going to get it done. And if you don't get it done, you and yours will perish. So, and we could spend a lot more time on the ant, but the thought I want you to take away from the ant being a prepper is this. The ants are simply preparing for the normal course of events in life. There's nothing special about this. This is just the way things are. You can learn a great lesson from that. There are certain things that are going to happen in your lifetime, whether you like it or not. Down the road, certain events are going to happen somewhere along the way, and you need to get ready for them now. That's why you buy insurance. See? That's why we do a number of things if we're trying to get ready. Why do you have a will? See? You're prepping. You're getting ready today for an event you know is going to happen down the road. The when you may not know, but the what is definitely predictable. In 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible said, "And Solomon's builders and Hiram's builders did hew them and the stone squares, so they prepared timber and stones to build the house of the Lord." David and Solomon, or Hiram, are working together to prepare timber and stone and all manner of stuff to build the temple of the Lord. Now, David's not going to get to do it. His hands are bloody. And God said, "You can't do it." But Solomon is a man of peace. I'll let Solomon do it. David killed everybody and fought all the battles and won the victory, so that when Solomon comes to power, the nation is at peace. They have subdued all their enemies, and Solomon reigns as the Prince of Peace. Great typology. But the Lord said, "David, your hands are dirty. You did all this violence. I'm not going to let you do it, but I'll let your son Solomon do it." So David lays by in store, with the help of Hiram, all the materials necessary to build the temple. What are they doing? They're prepping. What are they doing? They're prepping to build the house of the Lord down the road. They are preparing for a future event. They're getting everything ready so that when the time is right, they can construct this temple for the Lord. All of us are to be preppers to some degree. I'm not talking about necessarily doomsday preppers. That's a personal choice. But there are certain things in life that you ought to prepare for before it gets here. It's too late when you're 60 to start putting your money in the 401k. Amen. You should have started that when you were 18. It takes years to build a little nest egg. Can't be. So you see old age coming, you ought to start laying the foundation for that today. In Joshua chapter 1, in verse 11, the Bible said, "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan." Now, that's the Lord talking to Israel, and he said, "Get you a bunch of food and prepare it now. Get it ready now, because in 3 days, you're going to have to leave here and cross Jordan. And on the march, you're not going to be able to prepare. On the march, on the move, once we start, it's too late. We've got to get this preparation done before we cross over Jordan." Amen? And so who gave that command to prepare? God gave the command to prepare. What are they preparing for? Well, they're preparing to live. They're preparing to survive. They're preparing to cross over a body of water into a strange land with strange enemies and be equipped beforehand to survive. You take that for what it's worth. Now, I gave you those examples simply to show that the Bible is a book on prepping. Amen? And the Bible is a book on prepping in more ways than you can possibly imagine. When I got to looking into it, it was amazing to me how integrated prepping was in the whole span of the book. It's amazing. Everything in life, or almost everything in life, depends on preparing at some place, at some point, in some way. Then I noted that God is a prepper. You could say that God is the ultimate prepper. Let me give you a couple of things you may not have thought about. That's why you pay me the big bucks. In Jonah chapter 1 and verse 17, you know what the Bible said? It said, now the Lord had prepared a great fish. Hold the phone. Take it off the hook. Wait 1 minute. Jonah is a backslid preacher out of the will of God, running from the will of God. But God is keeping track. He's got his GPS right on Jonah. He knows where that boat is at. They got Doppler radar and GPS locators, and God knows right where that boat's at. And beforehand, before Jonah ran, before the boat sailed, God prepared a great fish. He knew Jonah was going to run. He said, I'll fix that little sucker. Thinks he can run for me? I'll show him a thing or two. And so God prepares a great fish. Of course, you know the story. The great fish swallows Jonah. Jonah goes to whale seminary after 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. He said he had enough. He surrendered. So the fish gets sick in his stomach and throws him up. You know what the Bible said in Jonah chapter 4 and verse 6? And the Lord prepared a gourd. And he made it come up over Jonah. Now you can imagine Jonah was probably somewhat seasick. And after spending 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, he probably wasn't hungry and he was suffering from malnutrition. Can you imagine trying to eat smelling like Jonah smell? You got to think about these things. This is important stuff. So Jonah is laying out there in the sun trying to dry out. And so that he doesn't have a stroke, God causes a gourd. Now this gourd had to be abnormally large and grow at an unbelievable rate. And it had to be in exactly the right place and it had to curve the right direction to hide Jonah. The Lord prepared a gourd to come up over Jonah. The gourd was prepared beforehand. God knew Jonah was going to throw in the towel. Now, God didn't make Jonah throw in the towel. He just knew what he was going to do because God can see down the road. And God said, okay, when he finally gives in, I'll pretend. And he prepared a gourd. He said, man, this is a weird story. You don't know half of it. Listen to this. In Jonah chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible said, and God prepared a worm. And when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. God said, enough protection out in the open. Off your butt and on your feet, out of the shade and into the heat. And there sits old Jonah exposed. Now, God prepared a fish. God prepared a gourd. Then God prepared a worm. And this was a gourd-eating worm. How much worm does it take to eat a gourd big enough to cover a fella? I mean, you got to think about this stuff, don't you? You can't make this kind of stuff up. So the Lord prepared the worm. In Jonah chapter 4 and verse 8. And it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind. I know Jonah's going to have a sunstroke and pass away here. My point is that time after time after time in the life of a backslid, running, disinterested preacher, God was prepared for every turn of events beforehand. There was no coincidence. There was no accident. There was no slip-up. There was no maybes. In this whole story of Jonah, God was prepared from the start to the finish. Doesn't that give you a great deal of confidence? Somebody said one time, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? That he knows the end from the beginning? And God's prepared. When you need deliverance, God is prepared. When you need a whooping, God is prepared. When you need reminding, God is prepared. When you need a little nudge, God is prepared. It ain't going to sneak up on God. And there ain't nothing going to come up in your life that God's not prepared for. I don't know about you, but I find great comfort in that. No good luck, no bad luck. God was prepared for every turn of events in Jonah's life. God's a prepper. John chapter 14, verse 2 and verse 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare. God's been prepping 2,000 years. 2,000. Preparing a place. Now, he's not, listen, God ain't been spending all that time just building a house. He said the many mansions were already there. We're looking at the luxury amenities that God's added on our behalf. He took on a stock old house and he'd been preparing that thing for 2,000 years. That thing's going to be everything you ever imagined and a lot of things you never could imagine. Point is that God went and prepared. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there, you may be also. God has been prepping for me and you coming home. Amen? God has prepared for his people. That's a real blessing. In Psalm chapter 9 and verse 7, the Bible said, "But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment." Judgment day is not going to sneak up on God either. You won't get there. The unsaved won't get there. And the Lord said, "Well, hold it. Listen, we had judgment scheduled for 2 o'clock today, but we're going to have to postpone it because we can't find the record books. We can't find the stenographer. We don't have a record of your life. That's not going to happen." Say, why? Because God's already prepared. He has prepared his throne for judgment. Everything that God's going to need for that day, God's got available. Somebody say amen. Now, I said God's the ultimate prepper. I've noticed a phenomenon in watching preppers, read about preppers. We all do the same thing. We all prepare for the worst. You can't find one prepper anywhere in the whole wide world preparing for the best. In our world, if good stuff happens, we don't need to be prepared. We just take it. Amen? All preparation in this world is done for the worst case scenario. That's not so with God. For example, God has prepared for the saint and the sinner. Psalm 23, verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. See, God's prepared for his folks. He prepared a table. That means there's food available. Everything that's necessary for that dinner at the marriage supper of the Lamb, everything that's necessary for the maintenance and the sustenance of God's people, God has already prepared it. Amen? In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Dinner is just a prelim. He feeds us. We enjoy the dinner. And then he says, come on, inherit the kingdom. Then he gives us a guided tour of the kingdom of heaven. It's prepared. The streets of gold, the tree of life, the river of life, the 12 manner of trees, the fruit. God's got it all prepared. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. The Lord has got a bag of goodies bigger than Santa Claus. I watched a thing the other day. It's called Naughty and Nice. It's a commercial for Mercedes. And Santa Claus comes into this room and he's looking for a ride for Christmas night to pull the sleigh. And down this side, there's a whole row of white Mercedes-Benz. And on this side, there's a whole line of red Mercedes-Benz. These are nice. These are naughty. He picks the naughty Mercedes. It's a little sport coupe convertible, and it's just roaring. Amen. I mean, Santa Claus got some pretty nice stuff in his bag. I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of the man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Your wildest imagination, your most far-flung fancy could never begin to imagine all that God Almighty has prepared in advance for those that love him. I mean, just knock your socks off, buddy. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 16. I told you, now God's a prepper. Is he not? He's a prepper. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now, I've always been kind of a country boy. I never have much cared for cities. We went up to visit some of my wife's people a couple years ago. They took us over to New York City. We went down Fifth Avenue. And I tell you what, New York City is impressive, but not exactly the way you would think. The streets are full of holes. It's so hot and it's nasty down there. It stinks. It's terrible. Why anybody want to live there, I can't figure out. We were down on Fifth Avenue. We went through the Diamond District. That wasn't bad. But they did have all them Orthodox Jews down there in every diamond store in New York City is owned by a Jew. I said, there weren't any cars. I said, where are all the cars? So we look on the side, and what they do up in New York City, they don't have a place to put all them cars. So they've got all these things built behind a service station or behind a building, and they're 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 stories high. And they have these little things that come down. You pull in, you get a ticket, thing comes over and grabs your car, picks it up, and stores it on a shelf. And you come back 2, 3 hours later, 8 hours later, whatever it is, and give them your little ticket. They punch the button, and this machine goes over, picks your car up, latches onto it, and brings it down and sets it down. And they're just stacked up like cordwood by the thousands. My impression of cities has never been favorable. But I think I'm going to change my mind about this one city. Because when I got to reading about that city over in the book of Revelation, and it said that God had prepared that city for us. And I looked at what that thing was made out of. Every foundation is a precious stone. The streets are of gold. The water gives eternal life. The trees are for the healing of the nations. God is present. His throne is there. And all the nations of them that are saved walk in it. And it doesn't need the sun or the moon, for the sun is the light thereof. Now that's a city I think I could like. Amen? And that's just one city that is the city of the great king, situated in the sides of the north, in a kingdom that God has prepared for us. I think you could honestly say that God is fanatical in his prepping. Untiring in his prepping. Unrelenting in his prepping. Unsurpassed in his prepping. everything that's going to take to make you happy and bring you peace and harmony for today and tomorrow and the next generation and the next millennium and the next million years and forever and ever and ever. God Almighty has already thought about it and planned for it and prepared it, and it's all ready to go. Of course, God has also prepared for the sinner. Now, people who are preparing for doomsday need to be aware that God Almighty is prepared for doomsday. And He's going to put the doom in doomsday. The Bible said in Job chapter 21, verse 30, that the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction. They shall be brought forth to the day of wrath. God Almighty has prepared a day of wrath for unbelievers, the unsaved, the wicked, and the ungodly. It is prepared just as surely and just as meticulously as God prepared for the saint. In Job chapter 38 and verse 22, the Bible said, "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have prepared against the day of trouble, against the day of battle and war?" God said that at the end of this age, when man has turned against God and resisted God, and we've thrown God out, and we don't want to talk about God, we don't want Him in the government, we don't want Him in education, we don't want Him in entertainment, we don't want Him in sports, we don't want Him on Main Street, we don't want Him in the house, and we don't even want Him in His own church. God said He was prepared for that day. And He's prepared hail and all sorts of things stored up in the atmosphere to rain down on this earth. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 15, "And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men." Now, when you read Revelation chapter 9, that's all about the bottomless pit being opened and all the demons of hell being loosed on mankind. Now, people are preparing for earthquakes and volcanoes and all manner of things. But how many folks do you know are making any preparation to resist the demons of hell? Nobody. Nobody is preparing for that. The ultimate prepper is God. And the ultimate doomsday is brought on by God. It's when God opens that pit and turns hell loose on this earth. No prepper can prepare. No prepper will be prepared. The truth is, there is no preparation against that day. If you're here, when that day comes, there is no victory. There is no survival. They are prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year to slay 33 1/3% of all the population of the world. Today, that's roughly 2 billion people. Now, that's physical destruction. That's the day of wrath. That's the middle of the tribulation. That's the beast and the false prophet and the Antichrist and the demons of hell and all the plagues and all the torments and the seven bowls and the seven vials and the four horsemen and the angels and the Euphrates. All that stuff is going on. And there ain't enough prepping in the world to get you through that. But that's not even the worst. God not only prepared for doomsday on the planet, God prepared for the judgment and the eternity of the soul. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, the Bible said, "Then shall he say also unto them on his left hand, depart from me, ye accursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. The fire of hell is not an accident. It's not a last-minute thought. It's not something that just occurred. It has been prepared. It has been there all along. It is still there. It has enlarged its mouth without measure because it was originally for the devil and his angels. It is now for fallen humanity. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. God has prepared a place of torment. As surely as God prepared the celestial city with the streets of gold, that same God has prepared for the judgment and the punishment of the God rejecters, the Christ deniers. God is prepared for both groups. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we need to become preppers. The only preparation to avoid judgment and enjoy the city of God is to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's either or. The preparation is on you. God has made known his plans. He is prepared to bless and reward those who love him, and he is prepared to curse and damn those who do not. Say, well, I don't like that. Won't make any difference. At this point, considering who you are, considering what you are, shall the thing formed say to him that formed it? Shall the creature say unto the Creator, why hast thou made me thus? Don't be stupid. Now's not the time to argue about that stuff. You get God to explain it in eternity. Now's the time to act. Now's the time to prepare. Receive Jesus Christ. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the Son of God, even to them that believe on his name. But if you reject him, God's prepared for that. And there's a place prepared. And you don't want to go there. He said, well, preacher, I'm saved and washed the blood of the Lamb, and I'm as prepared as I can get. You know what I've noticed about preppers? It's a fundamental human thing, I think. Seems like whatever it is we're interested in, what we're really interested in, we want everybody else to be interested in. Amen? I'm a golfer. I think everybody ought to like golf. Some of y'all like NASCAR. That shows there's a fundamental mental disconnect. But we have that natural inclination, the things we're interested in. We like it when other people are interested in it too. And if we get an opportunity, we will try and be a spokesman for and encourage others in that direction. Well, we can't twist our arm, can't beat them over the head. But, you know, say, well, you know, you ought to come out and try it sometime. Oh, I don't want to go out and beat that little white ball up for. You know, because that little white ball will beat you up if you ain't careful. If you're saved and you've prepped, you're ready for the judgment. You know what you ought to be doing? Encouraging others to prep. That ought to be our mission. To get as many folks as we can to prepare to meet God. Amos chapter 4. But prepare to meet thy God. Ladies and gentlemen, just as serious as I know how to be, you do not want to meet God unprepared. There's one place, one time, one situation where you better take prepping seriously. Because if you don't prepare to meet God, you will. Prepping is serious business. Personal prep, and then helping others to prep. You know, if I knew there was an earthquake coming tomorrow and California was going to slip off into the Pacific Ocean, my first thought would be how much easier it would be for Republicans to win elections. No. Gotcha, didn't I? First thought would be to warn them, to get as many of them out of California as you could. Send them to Washington. If you knew in advance, you'd want to help them, wouldn't you? Ladies and gentlemen, the judgment is coming. The Bible said God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world. Let's help as many as we can be prepared for that day. Father, we thank you now for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. And we pray, oh God.